Our text this afternoon is Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Let's hear God's word now. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? As far as the reading of God's holy word, may he bless our hearts this afternoon. Well, I've always found Jesus' words in our passage to be a tremendous encouragement to pray. Don't you find his words encouraging and an encouragement to pray? He invites us to pray with a childlike trust in our Heavenly Father. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And he promises us in verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Who wouldn't want to pray with such wonderful promises from our Lord? And he could have said, ask, but you know, I can't guarantee you're going to get what you ask for. You know, God's quite busy, and you're really not that important. Or he could have said, seek, but no guarantees, finding what you're seeking for. Or he could have said, knock, but God might not open the door for you. No, he didn't say any of that. Rather, he says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. He gives us these amazing, unqualified promises to encourage us to pray. Now, we know that other parts of the Bible, like 1 John 5:14, speak of asking according to his will. And that's important, of course, as we'll see more shortly. And as he teaches this, we remember the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He has just taught them the Lord's Prayer. He's taught us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, to pray for God's name to be hallowed, for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done, and to pray for physical needs and spiritual needs, that God would give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins and guard us from sin and temptation and ultimately protect us until he comes again. And so he's given us instructions on how to pray, but here he just gives us these unqualified promises, I think, because he wants to really encourage us to pray. He knows our hearts, that we're so discouraged easily. We struggle with confidence in prayer, and he wants to encourage us that our Heavenly Father is a good and a generous Father towards us, his beloved children. He wants to encourage you and me that prayer is not a waste of time, that it is always a blessing for us. As John Brodus put it, one may be a truly industrious man and yet poor in temporal things, but one cannot be a truly praying man and yet poor in spiritual things. You will always be blessed in prayer. Prayer is always a blessing and never a waste of time. And we're encouraged by Jesus' words that prayer is really not that complicated. As Philip Ryken put it, when children need something from their fathers, they do not hire a lawyer, draft a formal petition, or get down on their knees. They just ask. Might even just barge into my office. They don't even knock. Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some chips? And so he encourages us to pray, to ask like a child. And to encourage us further to pray, Jesus gives us a wonderful illustration of the goodness of our Heavenly Father and of his loving disposition towards his children. He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Children, when is the last time that you asked your dad for a piece of bread when you're hungry and he gave you a rock and said, here, chew on that for a little bit? Or how many of you children, when you ask your dad for a bowl of cereal, gives you a bowl of bugs? Ew. Or how many of you, when you ask for a toy for your birthday, are given a stick? Here, play with that. It's all wrapped up. You open it up. You're all excited. It's just a stick. No. Your parents give you wonderful gifts. They give you things that you need for body and soul. And when you're hungry, they give you food. They give you good food to eat. And they give you nice toys for your birthday. They love you, and they love to give good gifts. It's a great delight for parents to give good gifts to their children, to see their smiling faces when they receive gifts. Well, children, Jesus teaches us that if our own fathers know how to take care of us, our Heavenly Father knows how to take care of us even better, because He's perfectly good. Our moms and dads, they're not perfectly good. I trust you all have good parents. But they also struggle with sin. They also struggle with their own selfishness, and they're not always perfect. But God is perfectly good, children. So Jesus wants to encourage us that how much more then will our perfectly good Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? And so He teaches us to ask for all that we need for body and soul, and to pray for others as well, and to expect Him to answer us according to His infinite wisdom and goodness. Now you may be thinking, well, what if I ask Him for something and the answer is no? How do we deal with unanswered prayer? Because sometimes it sure seems like God is not hearing our prayers and not giving us what we ask for. We ask for a job and He doesn't give us one, at least maybe not right away. Or we ask for healing and we continue to suffer with illness. Or we ask for a spouse. We're lonely. We want to get married. He doesn't give us one. Or at least not when we ask. Or we ask for Him to save our loved ones, and they continue to reject Jesus. How do we deal with what seems to be unanswered prayer? Well, we have to trust that God is infinitely wise and just and good. And we know that supremely by looking to the cross, where He supremely reveals just how wise and just and good He is, where He gave us His only begotten Son for our salvation. And so as we look to the cross, we can know for sure that no matter what, He is wise and just and good. And so when we pray, God, here's what it comes down to. When we pray, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything He knows. So when we ask, He will always give us either what we asked or what we would have asked if we knew everything He knows. But you see, either way, He's going to give us what is best for us. Just as good parents know what's best for their children, right? If my children ask to eat all their Easter candy in one sitting when it's bedtime, the answer is going to be no, sadly. For them, at least. But it's going to be no, because I want to give them the good gift of a good night's sleep without them throwing up all night. And they'll thank me one day when they understand better as a parent themselves. See, God knows what's best for His children. And if He hasn't granted it yet, it's either because it's not His good and perfect will, or it's just not His good and perfect timing. Either way, we need to learn to pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but Your will be done, O God. Not my will, but Your will be done. We need to trust that, as Romans 8 puts it, He who did not spare His only Son, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? And we need to trust that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. We might not fully understand why in this life, but it will all make sense when we get to heaven. We have to trust that. It'll all make sense when we get to heaven and see just how good and perfect God's will and timing were. It's like a tapestry, right? It's When you look at a tapestry on the reverse side, it just looks like a bunch of threads and you can't make anything out of it. But on the other side, it's a beautiful tapestry. And you see, God sees the beautiful side. We're down here and we look up and we see this all these threads and it doesn't look very nice to us. But when we get to heaven, he's going to show us what he was doing all that time. And we'll praise him for his good and perfect will and good and perfect timing. One commentator, R.T. France, put it well in his commentary on our passage. He says this, "It is God as the Father in heaven who knows what is good for his children. And as with a human parent, his generosity may not always coincide with the child's wishes. But for all that necessary caution, there is an openness about verses 7 to 8, which invites not merely a resigned acceptance of what the Father gives, but a willingness to explore the extent of his generosity, secure in the knowledge that only what is good will be given, so that mistakes in prayer through human short-sightedness will not rebound on those praying. And so ask, seek, and knock. And be assured that if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And God has already graciously given us everything we ultimately need. Let's not forget that as well. He's already given us everything we ultimately need most. He's given us what? He's given us his Son for our salvation. And he's given us the gift of his Spirit to apply the work of salvation to us and to secure us in it forever. As Paul says in Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." And so, beloved, let us remember this too, that our ultimate needs are already met for us in Christ. And it's all according to the riches of his glorious grace for those who trust in Christ alone for salvation, and no one can take it from us. And so let us be encouraged by Jesus' words here to pray. Let us ask and seek and knock, trusting that we have a good and gracious Heavenly Father who gives good gifts to his children, who simply ask in Jesus' name. Amen.